Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is with his son in the hospital who is battling COVID, and we are please asking you to continue to pray for Dr. Youngblood and his son. It's been more than 3 weeks now that he has been in the hospital battling COVID, and your prayers are desperately needed. The fervent, effectual prayers of the righteous availeth much, and we covet your prayers. Please continue to pray for Dr. Youngblood and his family, his son Gene, who is in the hospital, and his family. He has children. So please continue to pray. I'm Mike Hill. I'm from the Pensacola, Florida area. Dr. Youngblood and I have been friends for a number of years, and I've hosted the show with him on numerous occasions, and this week have been doing it solo. And it's been my honor and privilege to do that for Dr. Youngblood. If you would like to join in the show with your comments, your thoughts, you can call in at 904-831-0917. That's 904-831-0917. Before the break, we were talking about an article that was written by the Exposé. They're out of the United Kingdom, where they gave 13 reasons why you should not allow your child to get the COVID-19 vaccine. Reason number one is 86% of children suffered an adverse reaction to the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine in the clinical trial. 86% during the clinical trial suffered an adverse reaction. Reason number two, 1 in 9 children suffered a severe adverse reaction, leaving them unable to perform daily activities in the Pfizer clinical trial. That alone right there should have stopped it in its tracks. Something was wrong. And reason number three, why you should not have your child vaccinated for COVID-19. Reason number three, just 9 deaths associated with COVID-19 have occurred in children since March of 2020. So a year and a half, and we're talking about United Kingdom now, a year and a half, only 9 children have died. One child dying is a tragedy. I mean, it's terrible when that happens to a family. However, because such a small number of children have passed away due to COVID-19 does not justify vaccinating your child, all your children. In other words, if only 9 have died since March of 2020, the vast, vast majority have recovered and have no need for the vaccine. Okay, reason number 4. The risk of children developing serious illness due to COVID-19 is extremely low. And in this article, the expose, they document all of this. So none of this is their own opinion or something that is made up. This is documented to where they see the risk of children developing a serious illness due to COVID-19 is extremely low. I have a friend who was actually my legislative aide when I was in office. I was in a Florida State House. She and her family, her entire family, came down with COVID-19. And her, at that time, three-year-old daughter came down with COVID-19. Her symptoms were nowhere near like what my aide and her husband were experiencing. And she recovered in about 3 days. When my aide and her husband and her sister, who was in another household, who caught COVID, it stayed with them for about 10 days. And that's pretty typical of what we see, not only for COVID, but for any type of flu-like virus. It'll stay with you about 7 to 10 days. A cold or a severe cold or a flu will stay with you about 7 to 10 days, and then your body's natural immune system will fight it off. But we see that the risk of children developing serious illness due to COVID-19 is extremely low. Okay, reason number 5, the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine is experimental, and it is still in clinical trials. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, it is experimental and still in clinical trials. So why on earth did the FDA give its approval for this drug to continue to be given to people when it is experimental? And it, in other words, if you take the vaccine now, you are part of the experiment. They still don't know what the long-term effects of this are. This vaccine was developed very quickly, tested very quickly, and then put into the public way too soon. Most vaccines take years of trials, of experimentation, of first on animals before it even gets to humans to make sure that it's going to be safe. And instead, this one was rushed to market. It is an experiment, and it is still in clinical trials. Reason number 6, 3 scientific studies conducted by the UK government, Oxford University, and the Center for Disease Control, which were published in August, have found the COVID vaccine do not work. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Did you hear that? That the UK government, Oxford University, and the CDC, the US CDC, published a scientific study in August of this year, which found the COVID-19 vaccines do not work. And we are seeing that ourselves right now, all around us, that people who are being admitted into the hospital now with COVID, many of them have already been fully vaccinated. I saw an article the other day where a cruise ship, where the entire crew and all passengers were fully vaccinated and wore masks the entire time that they had a COVID outbreak on that ship. So the vaccine is not working. Do not give it to your children, and don't you take it either. Okay, reason number 7, Public Health England data shows the majority of COVID-19 deaths are among the vaccinated and suggests that the vaccines worsen the disease. That's a fact, ladies and gentlemen, and they have documentation to back up everything that they say in this article. Reason number 8, to not give your child the vaccine, and I would also offer why you shouldn't take it. There have been at least 1.18 million adverse reactions to the COVID-19 vaccines in the UK alone. In the UK alone, 1.18 million adverse reactions. And we are experiencing adverse reactions right here in the United States, ladies and gentlemen. I'm pretty sure you are aware of that. There are people who have come down with tremors, blood clots, enlarging of the heart, and death even. We have had more people in the United States die from the vaccine since it has been administered than those who have actually died from COVID-19. That is a fact. Reason number 9, why not to give your children a COVID vaccine, and I would say why you shouldn't take it either. There have been more deaths in 8 months due to the COVID-19 vaccines than there have been due to all other available vaccines since 2001. Did you get that? That the COVID vaccine alone, in the last 8 months, more people have died from that vaccine than from any other vaccine all combined since 2001. So over 20 years, less people have died from the various other vaccines that are out there, flu vaccine, whatever vaccines there are, less number of people have died in 20 years than the COVID-19 vaccine has done in just 8 months. Why is that? It's because the other vaccines were fully vetted before they were given to people, before they were put out on the market. They were meticulously tested and tried before they were approved to be administered in a mass scale. This Pfizer vaccine has not, and it is wreaking havoc. People are having severe adverse reactions, and people are dying from taking this, more so than from any other vaccines all combined over the past 20 years. Reason number 10, the risk of heart inflammation in children due to the Pfizer vaccine. The risk increases dramatically, and this article has documentation to prove that, and we have seen reports of that coming out all over. Ladies and gentlemen, if you know someone who has experienced an adverse reaction to the COVID-19 vaccine, call in and tell us about it. The number here is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Okay, I'm reading from an article written by the Exposé out of the United Kingdom, where they give 13 reasons why you should not give your child a COVID vaccine, and I would add to it why you should not take it either. Okay, risk, reason number 11. Here we are. Children have died and are dying due to the COVID-19 vaccines. That's a fact, ladies and gentlemen. This article documents actual medical cases where children have died after being administered that vaccine. And now here we are having certain places in the U.S., usually Democrat-controlled areas, as usual, where they are now saying, give the vaccine to children who are as young as 12 to 15 years old. And when they and I'm reading to you reasons why you should not do that. We are finding that children are dying when they take these vaccines. And amazingly, there are some school districts in America where they are giving these vaccines without parental consent. Now, I'll have to tell you, if my child came home and had given them that jab without my consent, I think I'd end up having to go to jail, because I would go up to that school and would raise all kinds of havoc that they would do that to my child. Do you know that right now in public schools, I know here in Florida, you can't even give a child an aspirin without parental consent? How on earth are you going to give them a vaccine without parental consent? Reason number 12, who profits from your child getting the COVID-19 vaccine. Who profits from that? Well, I think you can easily surmise that it comes from Big Pharma. Big Pharma is the one who profits from that. Let me get to reason number 13, the final reason. The Joint Committee on Vaccination and Immunization have refused to recommend the Pfizer vaccine be offered to children. So this is in the United Kingdom, the Joint Committee on Vaccination and Immunization have refused to recommend a Pfizer vaccine be offered to children. Okay, we have a caller on the line. Jose, please, thanks for joining the call. What is your question or comment?
Well, my comment is this. For some reason, you know, I took the vaccine, the first two, because my wife was at a hospital here in town, and it was mandatory for her and the relatives to take, especially me, the husband. With all the nonsense that I hear, especially when the government is telling you that if some of the side effects, you know, can cause you, you know, damage to your health, you cannot sue them. That tells me a lot. You don't have to be a rocket science to see that the government is want you to try, want you to take it, but God forbid that something happens to you, you get a heart attack or you get something worse than that, you cannot sue them. So who are you going to go after? Because they are the one pushing it down your throat to take it. So, and now they're talking about maybe 5 or 6 months more vaccines. So what happened with the first two? They're not working or they keep experimenting with the American population. That's my comment. I don't want them to experiment with me anymore. I'm not going to take any more. I'm sorry. And the sad thing is when I make an appointment with the doctor for any kind of test or a yearly test, I have to have the test to see that I don't have the virus. And at the same time, they ask you, you're vaccinated or not. I wondered if I said, no, I'm not vaccinated. I wondered if the doctor refused to see me. Right. I don't think that's legal. You know what I mean? And this is taking too much control of the population, and it's getting into the churches as well, because there's some churches that they are asking their members, you're vaccinated or not, and they're having services for the one that had the vaccine and the ones that don't have it. That's crazy. Are they going to label us as well, like the Nazis did with the Jews in the past? It's crazy, brother. Have a blessed day, and I'm going to keep listening.
Okay, Jose, thank you for your comment. You raised some very good points, you know, that the pharmaceutical companies are, you cannot sue them because of adverse reactions or death from taking a vaccine. That there is, from the Center for Disease Control, CDC, there is a fund that has been set up, the VAERS, the Vaccine Adverse Reaction Fund, where you are able to apply for receiving some funds because of adverse reactions or deaths, but it's not a lot, and it can take months before you can receive it. So you raised such a good point, Jose. You can't sue them because of this, and that is one thing I think should be changed, that pharmaceutical companies should be on the hook for adverse reactions. You know, it hasn't always been that way in the United States, where they had this immunity. This started probably about 30 years ago, where the pharmaceuticals, in order to, what they say, reduce the cost of developing vaccines and the cost of litigation that they would face later, that they requested this immunity. Congress passed a law which allowed them to do that, which in my mind was a huge mistake. Okay, let's change directions just a little bit here. Again, thank you for calling in, Jose. If others would like to join, to call in, the number is 904-831-0917. I'm going to read an article here from The Bulletin, which comes out each monthly from the John Birch Society. Yes, I will admit, I am a John Birch Society member. I'm a proud member of the John Birch Society. They are an excellent organization that loves this country and will fight for this country. So here's an article that was written by the CEO of the John Birch Society, by William Hahn, as part of their monthly bulletin, their September bulletin. With all that the globalists are throwing at us domestically, internationally, not to mention the severe erosion of freedom due to an overzealous and oppressive government response to COVID-19, it's easy to get frustrated. I'm reading from the article now. If we're not careful, we may even get pushed away from the mission. This is John Birch's mission, by either diluting our efforts or doing whatever is easy and ignoring more challenging responsibilities. Then he goes on to state what the John Birch Society mission is. Less government, more responsibility, and with God's help, a better world. I love that mission statement. Less government, more responsibility, and with God's help, a better world. So how much less government? The article goes on to say a lot. The founding fathers designed a federal government with limited powers. The states and the people hold the rest and majority of the power. When the federal government steps outside this limitation, the states and people need to check their authority through nullification, legislation, and legal proceedings. Those elected officials not abiding by the Constitution should be voted out and replaced with those who obey the Constitution. Which, okay, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I'm no longer reading from the article. I want to comment on that here. We're going to have elections again next year. Some of you may be having special elections in your area, but next year, 22, we're going to have elections. It is very important for you as a citizen to make sure you properly vet who that candidate is running for office. And when I say properly vet, you need to ask them, where do you stand in terms of supporting our Constitution? Where are you in the pro-life movement? Where are you when it comes to gun control? And don't just accept whatever answer they give you, because they will tell you what they think you want to hear. Instead, drill down a little further. Ask them, why do you believe that? Ask them, have you read the Constitution? And if so, when was the last time you read the Constitution? Can you explain to me what Article 1, Article 2, and Article 3 of the Constitution comprise of? And drill down. If they say, yes, I'm pro-life, ask them why. Why are you pro-life? Ask them, when does life begin, and why would you support it? They say, I'm pro-Second Amendment. Okay, great. Would there be any instance or example where you think that it is justified for the government to come and take your weapons from you simply based on an accusation by another individual? So when it is your responsibility, because the government that we have is a government that you deserve, because that's the government you voted for. So make sure you properly vet these candidates who are running for office. We have another caller on the line. John, please come on with your comment or with your thoughts.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, John.
Okay. My question, we can vote next year in 2022. How do we have confidence in the voting system when we firmly believe that the election that we had last year wasn't a bona fide election? Are we still going to have the same companies that own the voting machines? And I mean, are things actually going to change? I mean, I always look at being an optimistic person, but it's like some of this stuff seems to be out of our control. So that's my question. So we're going to be voting, but is there still power in the vote, or has it been so corrupted that no matter what we do, it's still going to end up being what they want?
John, thank you for that comment, and thank you for the call. You made a great question. Do we have any confidence in our voting system. And right now, I would say it's at an all-time low, our confidence in it. And there are people right now in Florida, there's a movement to audit the election that took place in 2020 and to expose that election fraud and to make sure that it does not continue in the future. We must do that. And at the same time, John, I would encourage you and all others, you still must go and vote. You have to vote, because without voting, then we cede everything to the left, and we cannot do that. They might cheat, but we're going to put up a fight. We still have to go vote. In the meantime, let's get this audit performed in Florida. I know there's people who are working on it actually in Escambia and Santa Rosa County right now, and I'm hearing that it could be happening in Hillsborough County. So please, go and vote. Ladies and gentlemen, we're running out of time now. I wanted to get to more of that article. It has been my pleasure to host the show for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood today. I'm Mike Hill. I'm out of the Pensacola area in the Panhandle. And I want to again encourage you to please vote for Dr. Young, to pray for Dr. Youngblood and his family. Gene A. Youngblood, your prayers are so needed. And I want to leave you with this, ladies and gentlemen. Do not be afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. That's Joshua 1:9. We have a good God who sees and will enter, will become a part of the affairs of men when we call out and cry out to him. He will not turn us aside. He will not cast his face against us. This is again Mike Hill. Pray, saints. It's been my pleasure hosting Let's Face the Issues today.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m., for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.